Afternoon. I call this meeting of Workforce and Business Development Policy and Finance to order. Members, as customary, please mute your mics and testifiers. We'll get started shortly. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to Rule 10.01. This meeting can be viewed on the House webcast television. With that, I'll call the Committee Legislative Assistant to now take the role.
Chair Noor.
Present.
Chair Noor present. Vice Chair Zhang is absent or excused. Lead Hamilton.
Present.
Lead Hamilton present. Baker. Baker. Dabney.
Dabney present.
Dabney present. Frankie.
Frankie present.
Frankie present. Greenman.
Greenman present.
Greenman present. Haley.
Haley present.
Haley present. Juergens.
Juergens present.
Juergens present. Cagle.
Cagle present.
Cagle present. Khatiza Watun.
Present.
Khatiza Watun present. Olson.
Present.
Olson present. Zhang.
Zhang present.
Zhang present. Baker.
Baker present.
Baker present. Chair Noor, we have a quorum.
Members, we now have a quorum. With that, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of March 3rd.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative also moves the approval of minutes for March 3rd, 2022. Any discussions? See none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? See none. The minutes for March 3rd, 2022 are now approved. With that, as I try to fix my technical issues on my computer here, I can ask Representative Olson to bring the motion, and so we can just get going. Sorry about that, members and testifiers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so would staff be willing to just tell me about the motion I should be making right now? Thank you.
Yep.
Go ahead and send the email for the motions today, Nick, to Representative Olson. So I just wanted to welcome Representative Baker because he had a motion to refer a bill. So Representative Baker, welcome and please move your motion, and then we'll take the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I'd like to, I think, move House File 3550. We heard this in committee last week, and I wanted to update the committee with an amendment and the next stop. So I'll take your advice as to how you want me to tee that up for you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sure you have an amendment going.
Yes, I do. The amendment has been included in the minutes. Members, we heard the bill last week. Again, this is an online training program with the University of Minnesota Hospitality Program in partnership with the Explore Minnesota. The bill was asking for $250,000. We changed it slightly because we wanted to make sure that we added a quarter FTE for some ongoing online updates and training. So the first correction now is $275,000 that we'll be requesting, and then $25,000 for the next few years. And with that, it'll go to higher ed at this point. So I believe that covers most of it. Mr. Chair.
So Representative or Chair Olson, at the moment, I would say you could entertain a motion from Representative Baker to refer his bill to Higher Education Finance and Policy, and then we can deal with the amendment.
Great. So Representative Baker, your motion is to re-refer the bill to Higher Education and Policy Committee, and you have the A1 amendment. Would you like to move that now?
Yes, I would, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead and introduce your amendment, Representative Baker. Is that what you just covered?
Madam Chair, that's what I just covered, yes.
Okay, great. So we're going to go ahead and vote on the A1 author's amendment. So this will be a voice vote. All those in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails and the A1 amendment is adopted. And so with that, now we'll vote on the bill being re-referred. Is that correct, as amended? So if staff could please take the roll on the bill.
Chair Noor?
Aye.
Lead Hamilton?
Aye.
Baker?
Baker, aye.
Dabney?
Dabney, aye.
Frankie?
Frankie, aye.
Greenman?
Aye.
Haley?
Aye.
Juergens?
Juergens, aye.
Cagle?
Aye.
Katiza Watun?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Jean?
Aye.
With that, Chair Olson, we have 12 ayes and 0 nays.
With 12 ayes and 0 nays, House File 3050, as amended, will be referred to the Higher Education Committee. And with that, I do believe Chair Noor is back on, and I pass the virtual gavel off to him.
Thank you so much, Chair Olson, and appreciate the help. But you know, technology sometimes works great, but when it goes into a cycle process, it's tough. So Representative Baker, I think you are now on your way to the higher ed. So we now go to the second bill. We have Representative Cagle's bill. Please move your bill and begin the testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm assuming House File 819 will be laid over for possible inclusion.
That's
so, thank you. And Mr. Chair, I do have the DE2, I believe, or DE1?
I see DE1.
Okay, DE1 amendment. And would you like me just to... So that would get the bill in the form I would like it, and all of my testimony and explanation is after the amendment.
So looking at DE1, I think it just puts the bill in the shape that the author wants. So all those in favor of DE1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? See none. The amendment is now adopted to your bill as amended, Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, member of the committee. Thanks for the opportunity to present House File 819 to you this afternoon as amended. 819 would provide supplemental budget appropriation of $8 million in fiscal year 2023 to the redevelopment grant program administered by DEED. The redevelopment grant program helps communities fill the financial gap that often exists for projects looking to reuse and redevelop existing sites. Well, this cost of the initial investment to redevelop a previously used site can seem like a daunting obstacle. The return on investment for these types of redevelopment projects is very impressive. And as you can see in the deed handout in your packet, over the life of the redevelopment grant program, just over $75 million in state investment has been leveraged, well over $3 billion in private investment, and has helped create and retain over 30,000 jobs. I have testifiers with me from Economic Development Association of Minnesota, City of Rosemount, and the City of St. Cloud, who have worked with the redevelopment grant program and would like to share with you how important it has been to help turning potential projects into reality in their communities. We first have Sam Ritchie from the Economic Development Association of Minnesota, who will discuss the need for the supplemental funding before turning it over to the economic development practitioners with firsthand experience working with the program. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will turn it to my first testifier.
Mr. Ritchie, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Cagle. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Great. Well, thanks again for this opportunity. My name is Sam Ritchie. I have the pleasure of lobbying on behalf of the Economic Development Association of Minnesota, or EDAM. EDAM is a statewide association of over 400 members in both public and private sectors from all corners of our great state. We're very grateful to the committee for taking the time to hear House File 819 today. And also want to take the opportunity to thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of this committee for establishing base funding for the redevelopment grant program in the upcoming biennium in last year's omnibus budget bill. For several budget cycles in a row, the redevelopment grant program had not received its own line item funding, but rather has relied on transfers from the Minnesota Investment Fund at the discretion of DEED. And while we're extremely grateful for this transfer authority and DEED's repeated use of it, for reliability and planning purposes, EDAM's members very much prefer to have a dedicated, consistent, and reliable funding for the redevelopment grant program. And while we're pleased to see DEED use its transfer authority in fiscal year 2022 to provide for redevelopment funding, there is still no funding dedicated for this purpose in fiscal year 2023. And this is why EDAM supports the bill that is in front of you here today. In EDAM's most recent member survey, funding for the redevelopment grant program scored as the single highest program priority for our membership. The demand for this program greatly exceeds supply, and it delivers powerful value and impact in communities of all sizes in both rural and urban areas of our state. The redevelopment projects greatly increase tax base, create and retain jobs, diversify and strengthen local economies, maximize private investment, and really help to breathe new life into underutilized areas. As you've heard from us before and can see in the materials included in your packet, this program has transformed over 1,300 acres of land, creating and retaining nearly 30,000 jobs. And the $75 million in redevelopment funds awarded to date have also leveraged well over $3 billion in private investment, as well as increased local tax base by more than $50 million. And given this impressive track record of the program, EDAM feels that stable, consistent, reliable funding for the redevelopment grant program would deliver a huge return on investment for our communities. These projects are complex, multifaceted, and require a lot of time and planning in order to be successful. So for these reasons, consistent and predictable funding would greatly help our communities prepare and plan for these complicated but impactful projects. So on behalf of EDAM's 400 plus members statewide, we again respectfully ask that the redevelopment grant program receive its own base funding in the budget. And I'd like to now turn it over to Eric Von Oss from the city of Rosemount to talk about an exciting redevelopment project in his city. And I'll be happy to stand for questions either now or after the remaining testifiers have had an opportunity to present, whatever you prefer. So with that, I just thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Cagle, for bringing this bill forward.
If you can wait, Mr. Ricci, once we're done with the testimony, we will have some questions on this program. Mr. Von Oss, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, my name is Eric Van Oss. I'm the Economic Development Coordinator for the City of Rosemount. We had recently completed a project called the Morrison Redevelopment in our downtown that began in 2019 and was recently completed last month, where we had applied for redevelopment funding through this program. Let me share my screen. Can you see the photos?
Yes, we can.
Okay. We had a large site in downtown. It was about 2.2 acres, kind of in the heart of our historic downtown area that was underused. There were two retail buildings that were in kind of various states of blight, and then a small bar. That also was kind of a problem area, responding to a lot of police calls and that type of activity. The blighted buildings were from the 1960s. There were a few tenants, but they were about less than half full. There were structural issues with the building, leaks in the roof, flooding to the neighbors behind the building during snowmelt and heavy rain. And so we were looking for a way to redevelop the site and make it this kind of like marginal property more usable to the city. Here are some other photos of the site itself. We worked with Ron Clark Construction to come together with a redevelopment plan, which is shown here on the site plan. It would be It was 124 unit apartment building, over four stories. And then there was also a retail component of about 3,000 square feet of what will be restaurant space. I've highlighted here some of the activities that were funded under the redevelopment grant program, the largest of which was the demolition of the building itself and then the interior abatement related to the asbestos removal from the original buildings. We also buried the power lines behind the building where the neighbor's property is. We added a sidewalk and new trail to the site, replaced a sanitary sewer line, and then added some water abatement along State Highway 3, Robert Trail South. Next. So the project began in summer of 2020 on the initial 124 units of market rate apartments. They range from studios to three bedrooms. As I said, it was recently completed in February and move-ins started this month. The original market value of the site and the abutted buildings was about $1.4 million, and the original tax capacity was about $27,000 annually. This project represented about $30 million of investment and increased the tax capacity to $321,000. The developer paid about $25 million in terms of the private investment to the site, and we had about $5 million in various sources, both city TIF, Dakota County grants, and then also deed funding to cover some of the redevelopment costs of the project. This represents the largest influx of residents to our downtown in the history of Rosemont. We've had other redevelopment and apartment buildings, but this is by far the largest, and it comes with a retail component. And we think it has been very impactful for supporting the existing businesses in creating new business opportunities downtown and also increasing the walkability and kind of pedestrian friendliness in what historically was kind of a more auto-dominated site. And I can take questions now or later.
Thank you so much, Mr. Banos, for your testimony. We have Kathy Mehalik. If I mispronounce, please correct me. Welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. My name is Kathy Mihalic. Say the health, say the itch, Mihalic. I'm the Director of Economic Development for the City of St. Cloud. I've been in this position since 2011, and I've been doing economic development for multiple municipalities over my career, over 25 years in the state of Minnesota. I'm pleased to be with you this afternoon. I apologize for the short notice. I don't have a presentation like my colleagues do here. We are actually moving into a redeveloped city hall in St. Cloud today, and today is day one of move-in day. So you don't see much decoration, and I was unable to prepare a full presentation with images of our projects. However, testimony today, I would like to share my experience working in Greater Minnesota my entire career, and certainly the last 11 years in St. Cloud here, and our experience accessing the deed redevelopment grant funds, which are really critical, not only to other communities in the state of Minnesota, but especially to Greater Minnesota, where we really struggle to attract the development interest, particularly in redevelopment, because of the extraordinary costs, the extra length of time that a redevelopment project takes, and the uncertainty that can come along with it. And so these funds are really critical for Greater Minnesota communities for those reasons. In our experience here in St. Cloud, we have accessed, we have applied for the funds three times. We have been awarded funds twice in the last 11 years. Our most recent project was in 2020. In fact, we applied February of 2020, and everybody knows what happened a month later. We had everything we could do to keep the developer interested in the project when COVID hit. Many of their tenants included the hospitality community and businesses. The project, if you're familiar with St. Cloud, is a redevelopment of the former Gateway Motel. Gateway Motel is a two-story, 35-unit motel that was built in the 1950s, right on Highway 23 and Lincoln Avenue in St. Cloud, one of the key entrance corridors into our community. Over the years, since the 1950s, the building has come into disrepair. It had multiple violations for health and inspections, in addition to a high rate of police calls to that building. The owner was finally willing to sell the building, but the cost to redevelop the site and some of the uncertainties really made it very difficult to convince the developer to make that investment. Because of the small size of the site, they were only able to build a 5,200 square foot multi-tenant commercial building. This generated only $80,000 in tax increment financing over a 25-year period. Very limited, again, on a postage stamp size lot. Meanwhile, the redevelopment costs were well over $250,000. The access to the deed funds were critical to get the developer to stay interested in this project during this time. The deed awarded $130,000 to the project, and the return on investment was 10 times fold and $1 million reinvestment by the developer. Our second project was in 2013 and included the redevelopment of a blighted bowling alley in St. Cloud, located on Highway 23, right in the middle of town. So these funds have been critical for cleaning up our key commercial corridors. It allowed for demolition of the building and construction of a 17,000 square foot Class A office building, a $4 million investment by a local developer that was willing to take that on, first time accessing tax increment financing and the deed funds. The deed funds provided a 25 to 1 return on investment in terms of this project. In addition, it allowed us to retain and expand over 60 jobs in a professional office building. So as a representative of Greater Minnesota here in St. Cloud and other communities, I strongly recommend and request your support of funding the deed redevelopment grant. It is very impactful for the community in cleaning up these key corridors, and redevelopment takes a long time, takes a patient developer. Being able to leverage the limited tax increment financing dollars that are available, particularly in Greater Minnesota, is critical. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Nalich, for your testimony and also giving us a little bit of a feedback on the return of investment on this great program. With that, members, any discussion? I have a few questions just to get clarity. I don't know if anyone is here from the department, from DEED.
Mr. Chair. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Thank you. I'm Kristen Lukes. I'm with the Department of Employment and Economic Development, and I'm the director of the Brownfields and Redevelopment Office.
Welcome, Ms. Lukes. If you can help us understand, I think we had, as of 2021, $75 million investment in this program since the inception, I believe. The return of investment is $3.2 billion based on the report that we received. Just wanted to know how much of subscription exists for this program statewide, because the last notification I received, the indication was there is more need in the redevelopment. We did not put any funding during the previous session, but I know that the commission has the authority to transfer up to $2 million from the other programs into this.
Sure. Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. Well, the program is typically at least doubly oversubscribed. I can tell you as an example, right now we have a redevelopment grant round happening. We try to have our grant rounds in February and August each year. And the MIF transfers have been pretty consistently around $2 million per grant round. So for this particular grant round that we're reviewing right now, we have $2 million available, and the total requested dollar amount is almost $5.5 million. So we're oversubscribed by over $3.6 million for this grant round. And that's pretty typical.
And for the change that we made to make sure that areas of high need, because of the matching requirement, there are some people who may not qualify, and the amount usually, it's a very small amount. Will that be helpful to address the areas with low poverty neighborhoods? I know that the priority is to also invest in those neighborhoods. We have seen the presentation from the city of Rosemont. Is that something that will, trigger more help for the local governments to do more investment? Ms. Luke.
So I'm not really sure how that would, I can only react to the applications that come in to us. We do get applications from across the entire state. So I'm not sure if those census tract areas are across the state or if that is going to entice more development in those areas. I can't speak to that.
I appreciate it. Maybe we need to look into that as we deliberate on this issue. As far as I see the funded projects from the report, 52% goes to Greater Minnesota, and in fact, just within the suburbs, 19% in total, and also 29% in the metro area. Do you see more high demand in the Greater Minnesota area, or is it more localized in the metro area?
Typically, we see a lot of activity in the metro area, although we do fund projects statewide. I think that just kind of depends on what the market is doing at the time. I can tell you, for instance, this particular grant round that we're in, we have 14 applications, and 7 of them are from Greater Minnesota and 7 of them are from the metro area. Typically, these sites are in, it's redevelopment. So we're looking at developed areas. And oftentimes, more developed areas are more landlocked, so there's a higher need to help remove some of the detriments to developing in those areas, whereas in an area that's maybe not as developed, a development can happen down the street or at another site or at another area in the city. So we do see a lot of activity in the metro area. But that doesn't mean that there's not a significant need in Greater Minnesota. We do fund, as you can see on that handout, of the applications that we receive from both Metro and Greater Minnesota, we fund pretty consistently at those ratios.
I don't want to take all the questions at this point. I would like to ask Representative Haley to ask questions if she has.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe the representative from Deed can just clarify for me. Last year, and I think this was with the federal ARPA money, but we funded the Main Street Revitalization Program. And I believe maybe that grant cycle was just completed by Deed. And I think we also funded something that used to be called the Revitalization Alliance or Preservation Alliance. It's now called RETHOS. Can you just kind of clarify with me those programs and those funding streams and how those are different from this proposal?
I think, Representative Haley, if I may, the redevelopment, the COVID-19 funding that we did for the businesses were just a different discussion. In fact, the one which just closed on the 28th, was in regards to COVID and also the civil unrest. So it was a more of a different funding mechanism than this ongoing program, which we already have. Last session, we did not allocate any funding when we were making the budget discussion, but we funded the redevelopment program in details. So this, because of now we are thinking about supplemental budget, it's appropriate for us to continuously fund this program. That's the key difference. I don't know if Ms. Lux wants to add anything, but those programs are totally different. This is an ongoing program which has been funded through different mechanisms throughout the process.
Thank you, Chair Noor. And I appreciate that. Do you know anything about the RETHOS program?
The Main Street development, I think we are now entering in the second round. The first round was issued to address the specific issues that I just discussed. We're waiting to see the outcome of that. This program goes further than that. It's not linked to any of those projects, but certainly areas that I need can apply for this program. So the second round just closed on the 28th. We're waiting to see who's going to get awarded for that program and the outcomes of the project that will come out of the Main Street redevelopment program. So we did not put a lot of funding in there because the need that we have seen across the state has been significant. And part of the conversation is to make sure that this funding that we allocated to the partner organization goes out as soon as possible, so we can also see the need across the state, because that was a statewide program too.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I understood that about the Main Street program and the federal money that we allocated, but there's something else called RETHOS, and maybe that doesn't come through DEED. Maybe that comes through a different source, but it's for projects of revitalization or preservation of older buildings that communities are trying to retrofit or, you know, remodel old space into, you know, new housing or new economic development.
Ms. Lux, I know that is not part of our budget purview, but I will ask if there's okay. Any information. Ms. Lux, if you can help.
Yes, so RETHOS is a nonprofit organization. So if they received funding, I don't believe it has run through our department.
Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's all.
So this is an important program. I think it helps a lot of areas where we see there's a greater need and people, you know, the investment, the return of the investment has been really significant. And it helps those who really need the most. And in fact, I've been getting letters that the program is being oversubscribed, as you've already had about it. And I'm hoping that the department will increase the funding so that we have more projects going and we can see more economic revitalization across the state. Members, I'll be asking for your support on this critical program. And if you look at our budget cycle, it's a zero because we never funded, but we funded in details. But not on the budget cycle that we just closed last year. Any further discussions? Representative Haley, do you have your hand up for another question?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just didn't take my hand down. Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Representative Cagle, do you have any closing remarks? I don't see any question from members or any discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. You know, I know this is a bill that we've heard in the past, and so, and I'm sure many people are well aware of this program, but I'm just really looking forward to seeing this program funded. We know the need out there, and I'm just hoping that we can get this across the finish line at the end. So, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I will renew my motion that House File 819 be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you so much, Representative Cagle, for bringing this bill forward. Looking forward to supporting this critical investment for our state. With that, I also wanted to thank the testifiers who came forward and advocating for this important program. Representative Cagle renews a motion that House File 819 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion. With that, members, we don't have any other bill for this afternoon, but we'll have more bills coming up on Wednesday. And also wanted to note that on Friday, it's going to be another capital investment day. So you have received the notification. We will have a hearing, a committee discussion on Friday. You'll get the details sent out. Any question? I see Lead Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, the question has to do with the UI Trust Fund again, Mr. Chairman. You know, I bring this up at every one of our committee meetings, it seems like, but I haven't seen the bill calendared at all. I'm just wondering, is there any sense of urgency at all from the Democratic caucus on this? Or if the Commissioner of Deed is on the call, if we can hear from the Commissioner as well, so that once again, we can just all understand that this tax increase is going to take place here next week for all our small businesses. So, Mr. Chairman, if you could just give us an update on that, I'd appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for bringing the question. I know we've been waiting for an amendment, fiscal note, which we're still working on that. And yes, we're planning to have the conversation with the Senate to get the UI bill, to get the other bills that we've sent on the frontline workers soon. So I'm hoping those issues are going to be resolved as soon as possible. We were hoping to have the bill before Ways and Means, which is where the bill is, but because we requested a fiscal note, which we are trying to make sure that before we bring the bill to the floor, that we took care of the fiscal analysis of the bill that we have. So yes, we're still working on it, and yes, we will have more conversation, but no, I don't think the increase will be on the 15th. It's by the end of the month. The department is the we will have to negotiate in how we get it done. So that's an ongoing conversation, and we look forward to having the discussion on that bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Frankie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to take a second here, and if you'll indulge me, to reiterate the urgency that small businesses are feeling on the potential rise in the UI. I mean, right now, small businesses, I mean, with all the uncertainty and the increasing costs, the inflation, the geopolitical storm that's going on globally, I mean, I just cannot stress enough that this is one less thing that we need to play politics with and put a burden onto our small businesses. It's just over and over again over the last couple of years, small businesses have sat back and waited for government to make decisions that impact them and the families that they support. So I would just hope that we could bring that urgency forward and get this taken care of and take this off the plate of the people that are working hard to support the state of Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for your statement, Representative Frankie. Representative Baker.
And thanks again, Mr. Chairman. And I wanted to make sure that I caught a couple of what things that you said, Mr. Chairman, about the end of the month. And I know, you know, we all heard from Deed that March 15th was that really important date, which is next Tuesday. And I want to understand you saying that you have till the end of the month. Is that what your understanding is, so that businesses will be assured there will not be any increases in their unemployment insurance premiums if we do something by that date? I want to not miss what Deed told us, who are the livers and the breathers of this bill, or of the function of the Office of Unemployment. So I want to make sure we're talking on the same timelines here, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you so much, Representative Baker, for that question. As I understand, and according to the statute, the way it's written, the increases are effective for the month of April, not the month of March. So we're still in March. The process of getting the information back to the employers is the key, so that they have a data to go off how the calculation should be. So that's the reason why I think there's the 15th, to get the notices out to the employers. So we'll work through that system. And quite frankly, there are many ways that we can get it done. And I look forward to that conversation.
Okay. And just to be clear then, so yeah, they're going to need a couple of weeks to get that out there. So I think that we're on the same page with that. And I think the fiscal note has me a little perplexed about what else is on there that you're waiting for, that the governor knows because he put his plan out and the Senate knows they put their plan out with fully refunding the UI fund to prior to the pandemic numbers. That is a flat amount of money that we can use. What is making the fiscal note so slow? It's getting it back to zero, which you proposed, but it's getting it back to that extra 1.1 or 1.2 billion so that we know what those numbers are. But what's complicating that, because it's a flat amount of money going into a one-time transfer? What is causing that, in your opinion, Mr. Chairman?
Thank you, Representative Baker, for your question on that issue. So our bill is slightly different. We pay the debt that exists. We pay off the interest so that there's no additional or any special assessment added. We take care of the impending, what you call, future tax credit. So that's how our bill is. But we also have the hourly school workers that we included in our bill. So it's more of a rounded, taking care of those who've been left out. And so making sure that the fiscal note that addresses that issue is still in the works, and we're hoping it's going to be ready sooner than later.
And thank you for that clarification. I think I just, in my final comment without a question, is Representative Frankie just touched on this for a second with businesses right now, like our families, are experiencing tremendous pressure on energy costs. We can't keep up with rising fuel costs right now when we all fill up our tank. We are all spinning our heads. And when you think about businesses right now, and that gets multiplied many times over, I just want to make sure my colleagues here, the leadership knows we cannot wait one extra day, because businesses right now can hardly keep above water because of these rising inflation costs on many different issues in our economy. So please, Mr. Chair, go to bat for us. Make sure that we work hard to get this thing passed as soon as possible. This is something that is a very high priority. So that was just a statement. I appreciate the time to speak. Thank you so much.
Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I hope that when we're thinking about these decisions that we are also putting workers first too, because we know that they have been just as strapped, if not more, than businesses. So at the same time that we're talking about this, we still have the hero pay for frontline workers that has been sitting out there since last session. We need to get something done for people too. And so, we have to think about both of these at the same time. And so thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much for your statement, Representative Cagle. I know we all are thinking about the businesses, and we know that many of the big corporation and businesses have seen an increase in their profits, significant increase. The workers are still struggling, and we need to be able to address closing all those gaps. I hear you, but there are also other options that we need to put at the table to support small businesses because of they use their savings and they need help with capital and other options. And we're looking into that. There are quicker ways to help businesses succeed, and providing them access to capital is also one of the things that we're looking into, and we will have that discussion coming soon. With that, I don't see any further discussion. We are now adjourned for the day. So thank you so much. See you soon, members.